The text for this evening is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, entitled, Keep Serving the Lord. And as you know, I think all of you will be familiar in the prayer meeting, we have been looking through the book of 1 Corinthians. And it was such that we have been coming towards the end of chapter 15, and I think it's apt that we have this verse, the final verse of chapter 15, to be also the verse that we use to close off the new year. We began this year with the theme, or we have been focusing throughout this year on the theme, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But even though we are bidding farewell to this year and, well, also this theme, I'm sure you know that does not mean that we also bid farewell to service. No, not at all, because service is a lifelong thing. From the time that we are born again, that's when we start serving the Lord. And we will keep on serving all the way until the day that we depart from this earth. Whether when the Lord Jesus Christ returns or when we are called home into glory. But from now until then, it is a life of service. Yes, the nature of your service may change over time. As you go through different phases of life, the things that you can do and things that you can't do will change. But the verse also tells us that we must keep on abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? We will come to see that as we come through this verse. But this is the one thought that I'd like us to end this year and also welcome the next year with, that we must keep on serving the Lord. Because the moment we stop serving the Lord is when also spiritually we will start to stagnate, or perhaps even worse, start to decline, start to backslide. And maybe as you look back through this year that has passed, maybe that has been what has happened to some of us. There has been many things that have happened in this year, various circumstances, personal things that have happened, arisen in your life. And maybe you look back and you realize that, well, maybe my service hasn't been that great. My walk with the Lord has been somewhat lacking. There have been things happening in my life, and, well, I know that's not a good excuse, but yes, the year has not been ideal. As we look to the year ahead, I hope our desire, our resolution will then be, oh, that I will improve. I will now abound, increase in my service to the Lord. But if you look back and we thank God, that maybe the year has been good. It's a year that you've been growing, the year that you've been starting to take on new areas of ministry, a year that you have, you know, really earnestly and desired to do more for the Lord. We thank God. But of course, then we must not rest on our laurels. We must not become complacent. We must look forward to the year ahead and continue to ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? Where is it that thou hast called me? Where is it that I can best use the spiritual gifts that you have given to me? And how I can best utilize my time, my energy, my resources for the work of the Lord? How can I be a better witness for the Lord? How can I better testify for the Lord in my life, in all my interactions? How can I be more of a greater blessing and encouragement to God's people? So that is, I trust, or I hope, the desire that we have as we carry into this new year. And three simple thoughts that I want to share with you from this verse to hopefully encourage us and to help us to be able to keep on serving the Lord. Three areas to think of. Three A's, if you may, to keep it a little bit easier to remember. Firstly, we think about our anchor. Our anchor. The verse here calls us now to say, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What does it mean to be steadfast and unmovable? It literally means to be fixed, to be seated, right? To be in an unshakable, unmovable position. Okay? And so some of you, well, we are seated right now. Okay? But we are not unmovable. We're not unmovable, right? If someone were to come over with sufficient force, push you, yeah, you'll fall, right? If something were to happen, right? Maybe there are sirens outside and, you know, the blaring out and something happens, right? Maybe the earth starts to shake, there's an earthquake. We will move, right? We will know that there is perhaps something happening, and maybe for safety, for our lives, then we take cover, we run, something. We are not unmovable. We are seated, but not unmovable. This word here, I mean, he uses two words, right? One is that you are in that fixed, you are in that position, right? Fixed on a certain site. And the second has the meaning that you cannot be moved out of your position. The image perhaps will be like a large, mature tree. You know, some of those long, lotus, huge hardwoods that you find in the forests. And you know, there's this idea here of a tree that has been deeply rooted, fixed in its position, and there is no way that you can easily shake it. Like storms have come and gone, floods, and that tree remains. Why? Because over years it has extensively, you know, sent down its roots deep into the ground, and it will take a huge amount of force, right, to shake it out of its position. Or another picture you may say is like a ship, right? A ship that has cast its anchor. A ship that had cast its anchor was its anchor, this huge, heavy, you know, cast iron hook of sorts. And they drop it deep onto the seabed, and it remains there. And the purpose is that it will allow or cause that ship to remain fixed in that position. And no matter where the waves will push it, the storms, the winds may come, well, the purpose of that anchor is to fix it in that position. And that's the picture here. Fix or firmly rooted on what, you may ask? Well, the anchor, well, throughout the Bible, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we remain fixed on Him, on Christ, and on His Word. That's what enables us to be steadfast and unmovable. And that's why he begins with the word therefore. You notice the word there? It's not just a nice little, you know, connecting phrase that brings from one thought to another, but really it tells us that it is in light of everything that he has discussed. Throughout this whole chapter, he's been talking about the resurrection. He's talking about this glorious hope that we have as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that will follow. He talks about this hope that we have. Right, that this mortal, corruptible body will put on incorruption, immortality. It talks about that wonderful, glorious promise that we are looking forward to. And he had previously alluded, right, of how it is because of the hope of the resurrection that he has his life in jeopardy, that he serves the Lord despite all the dangers that he faces. He is unshaken. That was Paul's testimony. And we read some of that just now in Acts chapter 20, right? When he talked about the warnings that he had received, people were telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. When you go there, there'll be chains and bonds that await you, afflictions. It's going to be dangerous, Paul. What does Paul say? He says, none of these things move me. He says, I'm not easily shaken. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. Why? That I might finish my course with joy, that he will keep on serving the Lord. He says, don't tell me to stop serving. Even though there are all these dangers and all these risks involved, he says, no, I will go to Jerusalem because that is where God wants me to be. Is that our conviction? You know, Paul was able to say that because he had Christ. He was firmly rooted upon Christ. Christ was his anchor. And because he knew Christ, he looked forward with that glorious hope of the resurrection. He knew that this life is only insofar as God allows us to live it. And once he leaves this life, he's straight up to heaven. He looks forward to the day where the Lord returns and he will have the glorified body. And so he says, well, you know, all these things that you talk about is not going to move me. It's not going to shake me. He remained firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what must and will enable us to keep on serving as well. As long as we are anchored on Christ, yes, we too can be steadfast, unmovable. That is the instruction here, right? Keep on being seated, keep on being unmovable. We look back at the year 2025. I mean, many things have happened. I mean, many things happen every year. If we look back at this year in particular, what are some things that maybe potentially could have shaken us, so to speak, troubled us, caused us to doubt, to worry, to fear, maybe shaken us in a way that we perhaps was tempted to scale down on our service or to change course, change direction? I mean, at a global level, right? We much earlier on in the year, there was this whole sort of shock to the whole global economic system on what they call the day of Trump's tariffs, right? He made this announcement and suddenly the global markets all dropped. There was all this fear and uncertainty rippling through every single economy in the world because of the power of the United States and how they now said, we're going to impose heavy tariffs on all global trade. And all the economists, politicians were scampering around saying, what's going to happen? And all these news headlines spelling doom and gloom and saying, oh, we may be headed to a recession. Maybe it's going to be worse than 1930s Great Depression. Oh, we don't know what the future is going to be like. There was that fear. There was that terror. Were you swept up in that concern? And of course, yes, things settled for a season, but there continues to be all these rumblings of uncertainty. And there's this whole back and forth between China and the United States. What's going to happen? Are they friends? Are they not friends? Is trade going to continue? Trade going to stop? And Australia is caught in the middle of that. And you may be in certain industries that may be directly affected or indirectly affected. And you may fear for your job security. What is going to happen? We don't know. How is 2026 going to be? Again, we don't know. But on top of that, there is this ongoing wars, right? War in Ukraine, still unresolved. If anything, it seems to be getting worse. Oh yes, they said there is ceasefire in Gaza right now, but the global sentiment continues. There still remains all those protests that happen every single Sunday. And those of you who went on street evangelism, you would have witnessed that. Maybe even being right in the midst of it. And because of that, directly here we were affected by the shootings that took place just a couple of weeks ago. Again, fear, so much uncertainty. What is the world coming to? Over here locally, I mean, things have been uncertain as well. The year started with a lot of talks about interest rates coming down, and it did come down for a while. But then towards the end of the year, they said, oh, it's going up again. And I know it affects some of you. Some of you, especially, you just recently got your mortgage or looking to buy a place. And it really does matter. You were looking forward to maybe some relief. And then now the talk of next year is that things are going to get a little bit more expensive for you. And again, fear, uncertainty. Are we shaken? Do all these things cause us to question and doubt and ask, Lord, what are you doing? Why? And these are things that are happening, you know, at the national or global level. But how about personal circumstances? Have things happened in your life that have caused you to be discouraged, to be shaken, to want to pull back on your service in some degree? Or perhaps you have been infrequent or less frequent in your daily prayers, in your walk with the Lord, in your Bible reading. I mean, a myriad of things could have happened throughout the year, maybe even things that you've forgotten. And as you look back and you take stock of the year that has passed, you think, oh yes, actually, where did I go wrong? I started out the year well and I was serving the Lord, and then, you know, things changed, things declined. Could it be certain things that happened in your family, personal circumstances, your job shifted, became more busy, whatever it may be? We must be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the moment we are not, we take our eyes away from Christ and we look at the world and the turmoil and the chaos of the world, we can be easily shaken. And if we are not firmly anchored on Christ, we will be like that ship tossed in the midst of a sea where there is no anchor. And every wave that comes, it pushes us one way, pushes us another way. We are unstable. And that should not be. That is not how, as individuals, as believers, we must live this life. Earlier on in the book of 1 Corinthians, we talk about Christ as our foundation. Christ as our foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, no other foundation can any man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And we must build upon that foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, not wood, hay, stubble. And that talks about your life of service. That is, you have the Lord Jesus Christ as the very basis and the foundation of your life. Everything that you do then builds upon that, right? It's because of Christ that you have this life. And because of Christ, then we go forth and we live for him. That is what it means to have Christ as our anchor, as our foundation. And that's what enables us not to be easily shaken, not to be easily moved. Now, for them in the 1 Corinthians, it was actually a doctrinal issue that was shaking them. And perhaps that may sometimes be what shakes us also. When we have some cause to doubt or question certain things concerning the scripture, concerning the Bible, concerning the teachings of God's word. Or maybe certain things that happen in church that cause you to become discouraged. Again, look to Christ, not to man. Because when we look to man, things can be very disappointing. We look to Christ, and everything becomes clear. And for them, it was the question concerning the resurrection itself, right? Is there such a thing? Can there really be a resurrection? How are we resurrected? With what body are we resurrected? And Paul clarifies all these things, and he says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't be so easily swayed and shaken. We want stability in our lives. I'm sure all of us do. We don't want uncertainty. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. We want things to be regular, predictable. Now, the only way that can be accomplished is our faith is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If your confidence, as the Bible says, is one that you trust in uncertain riches, your confidence is bowed and swayed back and forth, up and down by the stock market. Market goes up, I feel good. Market goes down, feel miserable. That is not a way to live, right? Job security. You think jobs are fine, a good job market is good, I feel comfortable. When there is uncertainty, companies having layoffs, am I next? I feel very terrified, very afraid. That is not a way to live. Christ must be our anchor, and our hope is on him alone, not in the constantly changing circumstances of this life and of this world. Secondly, our aspirations, right? What is our anchor? Christ. Our aspiration is that we keep on increasing. That's the meaning of the word abounding, right? Keep on increasing or abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's what I mentioned at the beginning. Our Christian walk must never be one of stagnation, right? We must never be complacent and think that, well, I think I have attained, I think I've reached a good level of sanctification, of spiritual maturity. I think this is about quite nice, right? I'm serving the Lord quite well. I still enjoy a couple of things on the outside. And yeah, you know, I don't want to, you know, change it too much. But are we then abounding, increasing in the work of the Lord? You see, our desire as we grow and as we mature spiritually, see, what will naturally, what should naturally happen is that as you grow in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, as you grow in the fear of the Lord, which is what we will focus next year as our theme, it will then naturally follow that our desire is to do more for the Lord, that more of our lives are dedicated to serve him. That is what the Christian life, the Christian journey should be all about. And this is in every facet of our lives. Yes, we are focusing on serving, right? But serving is really the logical consequence of your sanctification. Right? Year on year, we want to become closer to the Lord. We want to be growing in our spiritual maturity. And when that happens, what happens is that more and more of our life, we desire to be devoted to Him. More and more aspects of our lives come under the searchlight of the Word of God, and they are sanctified. We become more and more meet for the Master's use. That's natural. That's natural, right? When you grow in your love for someone, that is what will happen. You want to spend more time with that person. You can't imagine life without that person. And you want to be dedicated fully, wholly, completely to that person. And your lives revolve around each other. And that's a picture of a couple that is in love. And I'm not just talking about, you know, that sort of initial frenzied emotional highs that you experience, you know, as you meet up, as you go on a date and things like that. But it's that maturity of a relationship as you get married and you live together, you grow old together. You become inseparable, right? Because your lives are so closely intertwined. And your thoughts never stray far from each other. Right? It's not that you have to talk to each other for hours and hours on end on the phone, like when you're first dating. No, but that love matures. And our walk with the Lord should be like that, if not even more. As year on year, as we grow closer to the Lord, and we see the blessedness, the value of a life that is close to the Lord, a life of service, a life dedicated, consecrated over to Him. And that's why Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means what? At all times, continually increasing. In what way? Now, we're not necessarily talking about sort of quantity of service, right? It doesn't mean that every year you take on one new area of ministry. No, we understand we all have limitations of time, of what we are capable of doing, right? But it speaks of, you know, growing in that walk with the Lord, growing in the quality of life that you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is your work, right? We're not actually talking about, you know, actual work done in that sort of sense. No, it's that the whole life of service, that whole life of dedication. It must be onward and forward. That was the prayer, right, that the Apostle Paul made for the church at Thessalonica. And amongst other things, he said, the Lord make you to increase and abound. Increase and abound. So these two words are used in parallel, right? In love, one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. And that's part of their service, right? As they grow in their love for the Lord, it is that they grow in their love one to another, and what naturally follows also then will be a life of increased service. Growing, increasing, improving. I mean, that should be our desire. I mean, the world recognizes that, right? The world is also on one of constantly pushing for progress. There are all these markers that the world has. All these metrics that they use to measure, right? How has the economy doing? How is our GDP, right? How is the jobs market? As individuals, I mean, there will be all these metrics that your company will use to measure your performance as well. And year on year, there is always that expectation of increase, right? No company will look at their numbers at the end of the year and they say, well, it's about the same as last year. Yeah, it's all right. Not too bad, not too bad. Yeah, we're happy. Let's just keep it that way. No, I mean, a good company will always look at their papers and say, okay, this was our profit this year. Let's push right next year for these numbers, these revenues, these profits. That's the way of the world. Now, of course, they're doing it for dollars and cents, right? They're doing it just for money's sake. We are doing it for the far higher calling. As we take stock of our lives, how have we been running this Christian race? Of course, it doesn't mean that we want to be careful also that we do not compare one with another. When we talk about increasing and abounding, right? We must do it within. We may say that our focus is on our own lives and our own pace. Right? It's not to compare with someone else and say, well, I mean, I'm doing so much more than that person. I'm all right. Right? Or to be very pressured and say, oh, this other Christian, this other believer, well, they're doing so much more. I better try to keep up. Now, when we say increase and abound, now, of course, we have to be careful, right, that we don't overstretch ourselves and burn out, because that can potentially happen. And we say, yes, yes, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. He's excited. You say, yes, fervent in spirit. And you try for a season, but you're doing it from the wrong approach. You're doing it from a very human strength angle. By my own strength, right? I push myself, and you know that it's not sustainable, and before you know it, you just fade away again. All right? I think we understand that idea of pacing ourselves. Just this afternoon, right, we brought the kids out to the Bay Run over at Des Moines, and the two older ones, they wanted to cycle, and so I don't know what possessed me, but I thought it would be a good idea to try to run alongside them. They on their bikes and me on my foot. And so I tried, right? They said, let's go. And I waved them, okay, you all go ahead. I try to keep up. And so the first 1 kilometer plus or so, they were still within sight. I was trying to go. I know I was going a little bit too fast of a pace, but I thought, yeah, I feel good. I think it's okay. Well, maybe today I can, you know, perform well. And the second kilometer came, and I was heart rate increasing. I was panting, breathing heavily, and I could still kind of make them out in the distance. I thought, okay, better try keep up, try keep with them. And then I just stopped, and then I started walking. And that's what happens when we don't pace ourselves, right? We think too much of our own ability, or we try to push when we are not ready, all right? And that, you know, when we think about service, there has to be that moderation as well. While we do say, yes, we keep on increasing and keep on abounding in the work of the Lord, well, we all have to know ourselves. Of course, this does not then become an excuse, right? There's not an excuse for us to say, well, I just plod along, I go slow. I mean, some people do that, and then there's never any increase, never any improvement. I mean, the thing about running also is that, yes, we train and we run, and year on year, as we train regularly, what we should and, you know, be able to see is some results, right? You run at one pace for a certain number of distance, for a certain amount of time. If you do that often enough, you'll find that the next time you do it, it gets easier and easier and easier. And then after that, you start to, you know, stagnate. There's no improvement. Why? Because you're not pushing yourself. So the next time you go, you should go a little bit faster and a little bit faster. And then you know I'm improving, either a little bit faster or you go a little bit further. All right, that's a progressive training that we do. And the same thing for our service, right? It is always abounding. Slow and steady, yes, but abounding. And that is what we must seek to do. That has to be our aspiration. We must not be complacent and say, well, I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm all right. And then we just remain there. And maybe it's just been that way for the past 10 years, 15 years, 20 years even. Where you've just been plodding along, saying, yeah, I think, you know, once in a while, I give up one track here and I give up one track there. I think I'm good. I'm doing something for the Lord, better than nothing. You know, every true born-again believer will want to increase and abound in the work of the Lord. But finally, the third A is the assurance. The assurance. He says, yes, you can keep on abounding in the Lord. You can keep on being fixed and firmly rooted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must be able to do so because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's our assurance. That as we labor for the Lord, now the word here, labor, really entails toil. It speaks of, you know, weary work. Work, you know, that causes us fatigue, weariness, even pain. Hard work, right? And so Paul is saying, yes, I recognize many of you are working hard. Many of you are doing many things. And he says, that's good. And you know, while we can give each other encouragement and assurance, it's only to a limited degree. There's only so much we can say, keep up the good work, thank you for your service. But the greater assurance and really what we are serving for and working for is the Lord. And the promise is that the Lord knows. He recognizes our labor. He recognizes all and everything that we are doing for Him. Because if it is for the Lord, right, it is never vain. It means it's never empty, it's never for nothing. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, the world is very results-driven, right? They will always ask for numbers and statistics. Can you prove your work? Explain what you've been doing for the past year. How have you contributed to our company? Your department, right? What are the numbers that you're putting out? They will ask for all these, what they call key performance indicators, right? KPIs. And if you fail to meet these targets, these performance indicators, well, that means you're not doing well, right? They won't appreciate all the other things that you've been doing for the company because it's not recorded in the statistics. And if it is not appreciated, it is not warranted, what happens? Your job may be on the line. But rest assured, God is an infinitely perfect job, God. You see, His performance metrics numbers, right, is not results driven. Right? The corporate world is always about results, right? It's the numbers that you push. And you may say, but I work very hard. It's just that, you know, there were so many external factors, other circumstances that I could not control, and therefore we were not able to meet these performance targets. You see, God does not look at the results, as it were. He sees our heart. He sees our effort. He sees the desire that we have to live for Him. And He understands that we may fail sometimes. You see, God is not going to make a reckoning and ask, how many souls did you save? How many people did you bring to church? How many tracks did you, you know, cause people to take? No, it's not about numbers. It's not results driven. Because sometimes even as we serve, we may be influenced by that. Right? We say, oh, I've been teaching and teaching at Sunday school and you know, the kids don't seem to respond, right? You know, I've been leading this Bible study and I ask these questions. Everybody seems so quiet. It doesn't seem like anything is going in. You're not the only one. And there have been all these stories, accounts of missionaries. They dedicate their whole entire life. They go to his place. They live among the people. They learn the language. They dedicate and their whole life there. But at the end of it all, not a single convert. Does that mean that their life is in vain, a wasted effort? Not at all. The Lord knows and the Lord sees. And sometimes we have these accounts also, right, of missionaries that spend years and years there, and it seems that in their own lifetime, nothing. I think one famous one that comes to mind is this man known as Adoniram Judson, right, this missionary to Burma, current Myanmar. And he was there, I think, for the whole life, years and years and years, nothing. Maybe one or not a single convert. But after his death and the years that followed, yes, then the gospel really started to take root and spread and move amongst the hearts of the people. Many of them do that. And that's just one story, a well-known one, but so many other missionaries have done the same. They spend their life, dedicate their life, translating the word of God. Doesn't seem to have any effect. But the assurance, as was to them, I'm sure, and to us also, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is not in vain. The Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly what you have done and what you have not done throughout the course of the year. And sometimes even things that we forgot that we have done, He knows. He knows. He sees. And sometimes it can come to us as a way of an encouragement as well. And there have been times where, in the course of serving, and I've spoken many messages. And, you know, many times I speak and put it away and I forget what I said. I forgot, you know, the topics or the text that I've spoken from. And sometimes, right, once in a while, some person comes up to me and says, oh, you know, I remember you came here on this date, you know, sometime back, a couple of years ago, you said this. No recollection at all of ever saying that. And then they say, yeah, I remember it. And then they share a little testimony. At the point of time, you know, I didn't see anything happening. I spoke, I left, and that was it. But then the Lord brings to remembrance some of these things. And we may not always see immediate results. as we serve the Lord. We do things, we don't know. But we do so in faith, knowing that this is labor for the Lord. And the promise, the assurance is your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As long as it is something that we do for the Lord, it counts. Not necessarily in our ledger or something, a record that we have, but in God's ledger. He knows. And so every increase in our sanctification, every decision that we make as we choose the things of the Lord over the things of the world, these are things that we do for the Lord. The Lord knows. Every sacrifice, every work rendered, you know, every service that we attend, every worship that we are part of, every tract you give, every conversation you have, every little effort that you put in, God knows. That is our assurance. That becomes our encouragement as well to keep on serving. Keep on serving. Do not let up. Do not let go. Do not throw your hands up and say, what's the point? Sometimes in our moments of discouragements, especially when we look to men, that is how we may feel. I serve so hard, I do so many things, nobody seems to care. Nobody appreciates my service. Worse still, criticism comes. And I say, what's the point? These people are so ungrateful. If I stop serving, then they'll know how much they need me. Then they'll start to appreciate. No, that is not at all the attitude that we must ever have. Not at all the thoughts that we must even begin to entertain. Because if we harbor these sort of thoughts, then we realize, actually, what are we serving for? Are we serving for men? No, are we serving the Lord? And know that when we are serving the Lord, then we do not need man's praise or approval or appreciation, none of these things. I mean, man will forget, man will take for granted, man does not appreciate, but the assurance is that God does. And therefore, your labor will not be in vain. That is our assurance. I'd like to close with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. And it tells us that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So the same two words that Paul uses here in 1 Corinthians 15:58, your work for the work of the Lord and your labor. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget that, which you have showed toward his name. Now make sure that it is genuinely and sincerely for him and not for ourselves. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget that which you have showed toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You are serving the people of God and you continue to serve. And he says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that he be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And that is our desire for every single one of us here as well. That we show the same diligence. Why? Because we have the full assurance of hope, and we do so unto the very end. And we do so, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And it's what Hebrews 6:12 here says also, that we be not slothful, but followers of those who have gone before us, the faithful, that through faith and patience, they inherit the promise, and we too one day will as well. And may that be the verse that we have in our hearts as we come and usher in the new year, knowing that God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor, everything that you do for the Lord. And so let us all keep on serving. As we have served in the year 2025, let us continue to increase and abound, more so in the year 2026. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy assurance, thy confidence, we can have in thee, knowing that as we endeavor and seek to serve thee, being anchored firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as our desire, our aspiration is that we will increase and abound in our work for thee, help us be assured that these are not in vain at all, that as we serve thee, thou hast a perfect plan, a purpose for the life that thou hast given to us. So we pray as we come toward the close of this new year, and we look forward to the year ahead. May 2026 be a year of growth, of maturity, of increased sanctification as we seek to live and serve the Lord and dedicate more of our lives to him. May you help us and bless us. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.